This is Phil Farrand, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I may have an interesting problem on my hands. This has happened before. My driver's side door, the little switch in it sometimes gets stuck. And when the little switch in it gets stuck, then it keeps saying, your driver's side door is open. Your driver's side door is open. And of course, oh, hey, everything just shut off. So it must be happy now. So how I have fixed this in the past is I've gotten in my car, slammed my driver door side shut, and then yanked on it vigorously for a little bit. And then sometimes after yanking on it vigorously for a little bit, then it's happy. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully that has fixed the problem. I did yank on it vigorously a couple of times. And now it's off. So I think we're good. Hope we're good. We may be good. We'll see. Anyways, it is Thursday today. All is well. Things have been puttering along. I've been working like crazy on the backwards day costume. Oh, I still have more to do tonight, but I am within striking range. I'm in within striking range. You know what I didn't do? I didn't check my shopping list just to make sure that I didn't put something on my shopping list to remind myself to get something, because I knew I was making a Walmart run. So let me just check real quick here and see if there's anything on my shopping list that are in. Nope. Okay. So anyways, last week was polka dot day for the costumes. That all seemed to go fine. People seemed to enjoy that. This week is backwards day, and I got this idea for a costume. Oh, that would be fun. I could build that. And then I got into it. I thought, what were you thinking? But I'm within striking range. Normally, I usually have costumes finished a week ahead of time. And the reason for that is then you give it a chance to kind of let everything settle. Then you try it back on. And then you see, you know, the Wednesday before, I'm usually trying stuff back on. Okay, what tweaks do I need to make? That gives me Wednesday night after writing and Thursday night after writing to make a few tweaks. I'm going to be working late tonight, maybe. I hope not. Hope not too late. We'll see. We'll see. I've got one more structural piece to do, and then it's just little cleany uppy things. I mean, I've got to finish up the shoes. I got to finish up what are in essence the mittens. I've got to finish up a collar. I've got to finish up, but it's all within range now. So I know what needs to be done. Now it's just a matter of doing it, and ta-da.
Oh, man.
I will only say about this that it really will be Hello, Frank and Kitty is what it will be. It'll be, you know, Hello, Kitty. This is going to be Hello, Frank and Kitty. Because that's what it looks like. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. But I think it will work. That's the thing. There is actually a functional component to this costume. So, I think it's actually going to work, which, that was the whole point of building the thing. So, anyways, it should be fun. That's all good. Writing is good. I've managed this week to stay up with the writing. I think last week I had enough stuff going with the backwards day costume that I might have missed been off by 1,000 words. Maybe. What was I off by? I don't know. Anyways, I'm fine. Book is wrapping up. I kind of know where I'm going. Just got to get it written, get it finished up, which is good because next week, of course, is first week of February, and then there's 4 weeks in February, and I'm supposed to have this book closed, which I think I think I am good there, because that's another 40,000 words, and I think I'm over 110,000 words at this point. Is that right? Yeah, I think it is, 110,000. And the books are supposed to come in around 150, so, yeah, so we're good. Family is good. I have had a head cold. In fact, I caught the head cold last Thursday. And, of course, you're always kind of wondering, but there was lots of sneezing, and it was all up front. And according to everything I've read, sneezing is not one of the primary symptoms of COVID, and never lost my sense of smell, and, you know, so yeah, I'm just thinking fine. Although they say if you have the common cold, that you may actually get some protection from COVID for it, because they're both coronaviruses, and so there's maybe some potential for overlap of protection. Who knows what to believe about COVID, since everything had to get so politicized, and not just in the United States. Really, not just in the United States. Across the globe, this thing has gotten politicized. It's really, wow, moral fiber. We need a moral fiber. Anyway, so that's all is well, all is well, all is well. I think that's it. I am once again in that situation where I can't see my notes, so I'm just going to wing this. So my apologies to all who may be concerned if I don't get the pieces of this right, but it struck me as very interesting. So in the continuing saga of scientists reckoning with the glorious balance, with the interesting conundrums that they find in nature, the glorious balance of the unisphere, of the universe, unisphere, the universe, what might be a unisphere. I came across an article. I'll get his name here in a little bit. He's a scientist that has been purporting this, and I think I've read some of his stuff before. He has been purporting that, in fact, what we see of reality is almost certainly not what reality is. He can't really tell you exactly what reality is, except to say, well, it's probably like a computer interface where you see an icon for email. But when you take that icon and it pops up and you double-click on it and you look at your email, you know that's not actually what's happening, because there's other things happening below the surface. Okay, well, so we live in a simulation of sorts, but he says that it's our kind of our own simulation. Now, when pressed on things like, well, but people who see something they've never seen before will report seeing the same thing as other people. You know, he kind of danced around that one a little bit. And what he ended up with, by the time it's all said and done, is he ended up with what's real is consciousness. But there's all these interconnecting consciousness, and it's consciousness all the way down, and the physical world as we understand it is not really real. How he got there was what interested me. So how he got to that conclusion was the fact that they were running game theory equations against evolution to see what evolution would do in terms of choosing characteristics. And specifically, they posed a question, something along the line, would evolution select for what would give you the best perception of reality? Or would evolution select for what was simply to give you a higher capability of fitness? Now, I don't know exactly how they framed all this, but he's convinced that they did it all right. And his main contention is he's absolutely convinced that what he has shown is that it is not in evolution's best interest, i.e., it is not in the interest of survival and life surviving for life to evolve in such a way that it perceives reality accurately. Instead, life develops to have higher levels of fitness. And from this, he concludes that therefore everything our senses are telling us isn't really the way the world is, but he can't tell you the way the world is, only that it's not what we see and experience. Okay. He bases this, is where things got interesting for me. He bases this on the fact that he believes that, well, I think he said something along the line of, so if we're really seeing what's real, that means that evolution can't be true. But we know, he said, and I even heard him say, I think at one point, you know, you got to decide where you're going to stick. And where he decided he was going to stick was that evolution was true. Therefore, you can't believe anything you're actually seeing. Okay, so there you go. So the fact that he has decided that he's going to believe that evolution is true, period, therefore the real world can't be real to him anymore, because the equations of game theory, when processed through evolution, say that our senses will develop to not show us the reality. Okay. On the other hand, if you would say that evolution is not true, that maybe there's a creator, and the creator is actually manufacturing the reality, we could still say that what we see is perceived as reality. It is reality, but it is a simulation still, because we're all running on Jesus' servers. But he doesn't like that solution. He would rather have evolution be true and everything caused by chance, even though that leads him to the conclusion that he can't trust anything he actually sees. That's an interesting conundrum to me. Never mind the fact that if our perceptions are so distorted that we're not actually seeing what's real, why would we think the theory of evolution is real? Because the theory of evolution is based on all our observations. So if what we are observing is not real and does not necessarily have any correlation to reality, why would we believe a theory that is unreproducible in terms of its early stages? And all that we have to go on to construct this theory is our perception of the things that exist in what we believe is reality, but according to him is not. So I find all that very interesting. Because it seems a little convoluted. It just seems like he's put a stake down in the ground and he just has to keep circling that stake. As opposed to saying, well, wait a minute. If evolution proves this, and reality is real, then evolution must be false. So it's all very, very interesting. But the second thing that was interesting about all this is a diehard evolutionist, absolutely believes in evolution, and yet, when he runs all of his equations, what he comes away with at the end of the day is that the natural world is not... Oh, I don't know what this is. I don't know. The conclusion he comes away with at the end of the day is that the natural world is not the truest reality. That in fact, there is a level of reality that exists beyond the natural world. To me, that's a fascinating conclusion for an atheist to come to when considering the theory of evolution. I mean, that's just fascinating to me. Well, looky there. So, you know, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, that His glory is manifested all around us, and that if we will give God a chance, He will actually reveal Himself in those things. And I think that's what's going on here, you know, but it's just very difficult. It's very difficult for some people when they've invested so much time and energy in believing a certain thing to then switch over to something else. So it'll be interesting to see what the next few years hold. For me, it will be very interesting to see what tomorrow holds. Oh, man. Because I have stuff to do tonight, so I gotta get in, get this uploaded. I gotta decide whether I'm gonna write tonight. I need to. I probably will. And then I gotta get Hello Frank and Kitty finished. yeah. It's a fascinating life. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.